Yes, everybody, welcome back to the XG Files. Ronaldo and Bernie's back. Yes. Comments was a little bit split last week about whether to bring you back.
No, I'll fuck off now.
Just do everyone. And everyone will be happy then, I guess, won't they? All right.
Yeah, more this ting or is it lilt?
Lilt?
Fizzy. Burning my throat, man. Just got like a weird ting.
Honestly, this isn't an act. Like
weird ting.
Well, you just had a kind of lilt.
Not even a can, bottle.
A bottle. Mm.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the XG Files. I have got some right good stuff that I want your opinion on, which I might get straight into, but I think people was complaining that we're not talking enough football. Now, there's not really been a lot to talk about because all that's been happening is transfers and pre-seasons, which is wank.
Well, is the expected goals files?
All right, yeah, true. How many expected goals did you have at the week? Oh, so by the way, Paddock won 11-0 in my absence.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, it's slightly embarrassing because you know what? Makira was like, what score is the game? He said 11-0. He said, how much did you score? I said one. He said, that's terrible. I was like, agreed.
Was it a penalty as well?
No, nah, it wasn't. It was actually the best goal of the day, to be honest.
Yeah. But there's no cameras to...
I think Will would agree. You'd agree, Will, isn't it? But probably best goal of the day.
Do you agree, Will?
No, I don't.
Azan was a volley one.
Oh, I didn't remember Azan's. That was a perler.
Azan scored that trick in 18 minutes. And I went, was that, because I've not seen the game. Obviously, there's no cameras there. Adam texts me the night before and goes, pre-season's been doing shit for views. So we just wait until we're back playing like league matches before we start putting the highlights in again. And I went, yeah, go on then. And then we win fucking 11-0. It's like a month's worth of goals in an afternoon.
But did you phone in any tactics or anything? That'll be why then.
Oh, shut up. They clearly played a team that was not on our level, didn't they? I think that's just the top and bottom of it.
Yeah, but you played teams not on your level before and you struggled.
This is true.
What would you say, Ronnie?
11-0. He scores one. Azan scores that trick in 18 minutes in the second half. And I went, Jesus. Like, was that in three shots? Thinking, how many shots are you getting in 18 minutes? He went, no, I had about seven. I was what?
Did. No, was the worst part of it, though. It's like... So let me know, but I scored the first one. So I'm thinking at that point, and it wasn't like it was my first chance of the game. They were like, do it.
And it was early enough.
It was 30 minutes. they were literally penned in from the start. Oh, and the fullback, I just literally kept walking past him to the point where I'm driving into the box and it's just me and the keeper. But it's like slightly tight, you know, the angle that I'm going from. And I've hit it, and the keeper's just about got his toe on it. I've come in again, and I've shot from a similar angle, and the keeper's just about blocked it as well. I've just realised I could just score twice here in like the first 7 minutes.
Do you not think putting it in a different corner?
That's what I got to. I cut in, and then I've literally just bended it. Stanch. I'm like, bruh, that's definitely a fluke, innit? Because I beam everything over. But I'm thinking there's literally an opportunity. 1-0, like the way this game's gone, I could score a few here. But I felt like almost embarrassed to try and score more. Yeah. Yep, because against the opposition. I actually felt, because the right back was a good lad, but I can tell he don't really play football and I felt sorry for him.
Well, Will was going
to... So what league are they playing then?
I don't know. It's Manchester Cup, like Johnny Carter in it. So like, there's all sorts of teams of wildly varying ability, clearly, that are in it. And I had a look at some of their scores last time. There were some games that was like 20-something nil last time and you're like, right, are they mega or have they played like...
Like War FC.
What have they played? So... Obviously, it's people that have entered it for probably the same reasons we entered it, really. Now, I think it's been a pretty good cup to enter. We've had fixtures every week through pre-season. It's going to get funky next week or in the next few weeks when we're still playing in this cup and the league started.
Yeah, how's that going to work? So who set the Manchester Cup up?
It's just a private company.
Oh, right.
So it's a private company. He hires out the venues. He hires them out for the entire day.
Oh, you just say like, yeah, you're playing here today.
Yeah, and he just gives you the fixtures. Like, there was a couple of lads that was moaning about it, going, oh, I don't like the guy. Like, oh, I've heard bad things and this, that, and the other. And you're like, well, from my point of view, they organise the ref, although they didn't organise the ref this week. They organise the opposition. They organise the venue. All you got to do is pay your money and turn up. I was like...
Phew. Just minutes, innit?
Really? And that's exactly all you need in pre-season. Like, I don't put a lot of emphasis on what anyone does. Do you want talking to Mike?
No, but obviously, you just sound like he was off and I didn't understand what you
were saying. No, I was just saying, like, people put a lot of emphasis on what goes on in pre-season. It's there for fitness. It's there for minutes. That's all it's there for.
Yeah. Well, and you need to win a trophy. You do, man. Pressure's on, innit?
He texts me after the BT Cup thing. Like, oh,
You've had the backing.
We basically played that team. And
definitely. Fucking hell, you got a Harlem Globetrotters and you still can't win football.
Literally, got to look at the management, innit?
That's what
you've had a look at you. How many goals did you score last year?
You had the embarrassment of riches.
How many goals did you score last year?
Four.
All right, okay.
Yeah disruption, four. I want it, disruption.
He's going on like it was a fucking 50-game season. Mm. Played about 13 games.
Mm. You should have done better, though.
Yeah, I felt like four goals and
how
seven.
How many penalties?
Two.
You played 16 games.
So four goals, seven assists, and 16 games. It's not terrible, but I expected more goals.
Yeah.
And it's not even like I've got the excuse of or chances and that. Remember, you'd know there's quite a few games where I had 1v1s.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So it's like
the best one was
Hadfield
at Drawsden.
Yeah.
He's gone through. He's one on one with the keeper, and then Ronaldo
shanked it.
No, he just sort of like, I don't even know what he did. He felt like he didn't shoot. He like control alt deleted himself in his brain and then just kind of stood there for a little bit and
one against, it was Abacus Media. It was the team we played before Abacus, so I've gone in and I've just hit straight at the keeper, 1v1. And then there was another one against Ermston Town. Remember where Thingy's played me over? Gabby.
Oh, yeah.
I've just passed back. It was one of them where I feel like this season or...
Do you remember when Farky used to go through 1-on-1 and he didn't even get excited because you'd be like, he's going to fuck this up, innit?
Or he'd take on about six people and...
Yeah, so our mate Dave, he had sick dribbling technique. Different to yours, because yours is...
He's more like a Paolo one-chop, wasn't he?
Him?
No, Farky.
Oh, Farky was, yeah. He's like Valencia. Like, he does. I'm going to start telling fullbacks, you know. I'm going to stand right in front
nothing
of you.
Nothing like Valencia.
Well, Valencia, stand them up and go around the outside. What do you do? Step over, go around the outside every fucking time. Am I right?
I'm starting to go inside a little bit more.
But you've
not listened to a word I've ever said to you about me and my football. I'm not great when it comes to shooting. So that's why I've never been inclined to go inside. And what happens when I actually beat people and go inside? What happens to my shots?
Yeah, you score 2 points for Wigan.
Exactly. So
what I'm hearing here is like poor management, poor man management. Poor tactical management.
Where else you play? Can't play him as nine because his shooting's his worst aspect. He actually does pull some assists together if he goes around the outside. Yeah. So you got to play him on the wing.
It's always been my worst attribute, like always.
And it's a winger, isn't it?
So it's like, he's one of them, but I feel like those chances I missed last season, I feel like I'd be more inclined. I feel like I'd score him now. I do feel like I'm a lot sharper now than I was throughout the early stages of the season last season.
Yeah, when did you start playing football for a while?
Yeah, I didn't, but I feel like I'm... Even like stamina-wise, I think I'm all right now. I've got back into it.
Mm. Can we talk about where you've been last night? Do you want to talk about where you've been last night?
Well, Ramsbottom. Mm.
I wasn't going to name the team, but okay.
Yeah, I was there.
So Ramia, Northern Premier.
Yeah.
Step three?
I don't know what step. Good though. Good tempo. It was a good training session. There's a lot of leggy running involved. It's a 2-hour training session, but it's like the full 2 hours.
So,
yeah.
The conversation we had was, actually, let's go back to that. What's the one thing I complain about with you the most?
Running in behind.
Right.
They literally said they play percentage football. So it's one of them where it's not like...
On the shoulder, thinking. Like, yeah.
So guess what they want him to do?
Running behind.
Basically,
yeah, but that's like a nah,
didn't say that. They basically said, because what happens is that at Northern Prem football, right? If you're playing 4-3-3 and you're playing percentage football, I've played in percentage football before. That's what you're not getting. We played that at Oldham for 2 years.
Don't play it for me.
Because I can take it to... It's not playing. Oldham's under-18s. Oldham's under-18s football and the league we're in. It's not comparable to football.
I know you can bring it to feet. I don't want you to take it to feet. I want you to stretch and get it.
Respectfully, you're saying that as if we've got fucking Ryan Leonard or Alex Reid in midfield that I had. Oh, we don't have that.
I understand. Pierce, however,
just do it one in four times
for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, but who have you got putting the balls in behind?
We've got a good midfield now.
Yeah, but Can, did he do it regularly though?
Yeah, I mean, we got Cam's up for being a full-on widge. It's got a lot better. And at the start of last season, he was well frustrated. He'd hold on to it long.
Nah, he's improved so much on that. He's actually listening now, Cam.
Yeah, just you're not.
He's releasing a baller. Luxury player. Luxury player. I do what I like.
Dedicated dickhead. Team dickhead.
Yeah. Seven luxuries.
Fucking hell. Well, not anymore. No, it's quite a hard-working team now. So, I don't know. This season, it's going to be a tough season for us because we've just got put in the Prem. We've played six of them. We've only won two out of the ones that we faced. So,
as I said, pressure's on me. The board is going to start.
I am the fucking board.
Well, you know.
You need to I'm treasurer. Off,
can I? You can back on the board. Yeah,
yeah, can I?
I overruled you. So.
that sounds familiar, that fucking hell. So, that's what Janine says, isn't it?
So, yeah, it's a tough season for us this season. Him being on trial. So Parker's gone to Ramsbottom as assistant manager. Obviously, he was our statesman centre-half last season. I think we're solid in the core. I think centre-half and in midfield, I think we're all right. We can probably cover Parker's loss. Not in experience. We haven't got anywhere near the experience that he's got, but we can cover especially
who's
younger
the oldest
legs.
Now then?
Don't even know.
It's a random question, isn't it though? It's like a proper general...
No, but he's saying about...
Actually, to be fair, it should be obvious.
Experience, do you know what I mean?
Eddie, you're like 25...
It's just like game management.
Malik's 24 somehow.
I think it might be Eddie. Eddie's a bit of experience. He came through United.
Yeah, I know him. He's played D1 in America.
Yeah.
Not a bad standard. But yeah, I think he's probably the oldest statement. But it's interesting to see what happens in this season. It's going to be a tough one. I know you were saying not particularly about Paddock FC, but I've actually not found out, because you said it before you wanted to speak about it, but what is you definitively predicting for the club you actually support other than Stretford Paddock FC?
United this season.
United. Because I was having an argument with him, about the Farmers League thing with France and all that. He hates that debate. I messaged him, he aired it to start. But as for United, it's weird because I'm optimistic, but I'm optimistic in a sense where us doing well still might not be enough because of what we're up against.
We've took some giant leaps forward, but we haven't got a longer stride.
Yeah.
There's two other clubs that have took forward.
Yeah, but Sancho should have been signed last season. So, in effect, we've only signed one player who's going to come in and change the team.
I said that earlier.
Since then. So, for as much as like they spent the money and they spent it well, they still...
It ain't enough.
Nah, it's nowhere near enough. Not especially when... Fucking hell, City have just gone out and spent that on Grealish and then...
Might not even start. I mean, he will.
Well, what's he going to play? He's going to play like 65% of the games.
You're telling me £100 million player is not starting?
No, he will start, won't he? But like, they're having a bench. Mahrez or whoever.
Players that don't start. Yeah.
Mate, Nathan Aké was a myth last year. Yeah. John Stones was a myth until like they partnered him with Diaz.
No club is spending £100 million on a player and not starting him, especially when you're the calibre of Jack Grealish.
No, that's true, but
he's starting.
Yeah,
he's starting left wing all season for them.
I think he's
coming over Sterling. I don't think Sterling's going to be there.
Yeah.
I don't think he rates Sterling.
I think there's problems there.
Reckon?
100%. I think he, in one of his interviews with England, during the Euros, I'm sure he said something about Pep, like there was issues there.
Yeah, and I've heard. Well, no, he's my guy. I've not heard anything close to him or from him because he's not the type to do that. But he doesn't seem like Pep and him are a bit.
Yeah. But there's loads of players that.
Oh, you just remember the last time you saw Sterling?
Yeah.
He asked him if he wanted a Paddock shirt. True story, 100% true story.
What did he say? No, obviously.
And he went, "What's that?" And he went, "Never mind." And kept it moving.
Because he was like, he's in yours, bar, isn't it? And I know from Liverpool days, so I only saw him on a weekend as well. But it's like, he sat down. It's not like it was a sense where I could have an extended conversation with him. So I said it quite, he's just gone over to say hello, innit? Because he's with Kira. Yeah, Kira knows him as well. And he just said, like, "Yo, what you saying?" Da, da, da. And then I must have said it, but I said it quite, and he's barely heard what I'm saying. I was like, "What?" And he's like, "Oh, you want a Paddock shirt?" He looks so confused. Like,
yeah, I would be so confused. I'm just sat here chilling, just fucking saying, "All right." And then next thing he's like,
said,
"Yeah,
never
mind." Innit?
Yeah, never mind. What? Nothing.
Never mind.
But he's supposed to be a United fan, isn't he? Which supposedly is wild for someone who came through Liverpool.
He's not going to be a Paddock fan, then, is he?
No, he's not. Clearly, but
it's almost like he barely heard what I said. I was like, I said it quite definitively, but he just seemed like he had no clue what I was on about. But
so I think, yeah, he probably, the easy move for him is to replace Sterling, isn't it? Which means the rest of City's midfield is going to be what? De Bruyne, Gundogan, Fernandinho. And then on the other side,
Mahrez.
Where's Foden play?
Well, Foden's out for a bit, isn't he now? I think
De Bruyne's out as well, isn't he?
Foden might be out until after the international break, I think.
I mean, it's not like they're going to struggle.
But they might struggle to score. Well, there's goals everywhere, but they're not going to play...
Where does Sterling go, though? Because Sterling...
He's on like 400 grand a week, isn't he?
Nah, he's... And Sterling...
Well, there was two things that I heard, but one of them's gone now because he just signed Messi.
Oh, if Sterling could have gone PSG.
Yeah, but I can't really say on... where the other one is.
But realistically, Sterling is... He actually is at a status and calibre of player where... A PSG move is a move that he could do.
It's wild because I think those that watch him regular, I'm not impressed with him, mate.
No, I'm not. I mean, I think his movement is like class. The way that he moves, creates space for other players. It's just like Ronaldo in the final third. Shooting's probably not his best attribute.
What are you bouncing about with right now?
Just my legs, innit?
Because he always looks like he's...
So I don't get cramp.
Trip up, don't he?
So I think
Sterling's good, man.
Yeah, he's good.
The thing is,
he's
performed, especially statistically, at an elite level for a long time.
But that gets masked by playing for City. Like, you could look like that at City.
No, I'm not as good as Raheem Sterling. But...
Okay, fine. I'll agree with you on that. But like, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's a little bit of masking of attributes. A little bit. Tom Cleverley looked fantastic playing for United in that midfield when he was playing week in, week out. Was he fantastic?
Just because he was next to Anderson.
I don't know what it was, but like we'll all agree that he did.
Cleverley's best performances came as a two with Anderson.
Anderson got done on it against Bolton, maybe 5-0, I think.
No, it was Cleverley got done, I think.
Oh, was it Cleverley?
Yeah, so sometimes you just be making the right it seem
like
the right
you're
time.
Making it seem like Tom Cleverley was playing in midfield with Xavi and Iniesta.
No, he wasn't, but I bet if he was playing with Xavi and Iniesta, he'd look on that level.
Yeah, he got England call up off the back of that.
Of course he did, yeah. Like, he started rebranding himself fucking Spanish Tom and all that shit.
Where's he playing now?
Oh, yeah, he did say he did still
at Watford. Is he still there?
Yeah, he went to Watford. I heard that. Apparently, he started feeling himself a little bit cleverly.
Mate, if you're starting week in, week out for United and getting England call-ups, you probably are like, I'm fucking mint.
Yeah, because you're at the top of your game, effectively, aren't you?
So I think sometimes...
There's no higher accolade, is it? Playing at biggest club in England and plus you're playing for your country.
Yeah. Like, I can't think of another example at United. Maybe someone like Makeda, maybe Januzaj. Like, when you break through, it can be easy to mask. And obviously, Sterling hasn't broke through. He's been established for a long time. But I think when you're in a good team, you can be carried by what's around you a little bit.
Januzaj is a star man at Real Sociedad at the moment, though.
And he played to his strengths.
And a centre-forward, though, and Isak.
Yeah. It's not like Real Sociedad. They're not like a bottom table side in the league. I think they're like... Fourth or fifth.
No, they're in Europe, aren't they?
Yeah, top six, aren't they?
Yeah. It's a top six side.
They might be top three this year.
It's interesting, though, because on the Varmers League thing, you think Real Sociedad around 4th, 5th in Spain, they'd be decent.
But they look
so average against us.
Yeah. The first leg. Yeah.
Perfect foil for us.
Because they played to our strengths, isn't it?
Like,
perfect foil for us, yeah. I think that's just the case. Like, it's not a Farmers League in the sense of, like, you're playing against literal farmers. Like, you mentioned it earlier. Mm. The Bundesliga suits a certain style of player. Like, Marcus probably scores 40, 50 fucking goals. Does Haaland type shit in Bundesliga. In the right team, obviously. Couldn't do it at Freiburg. But I still think it's the same in France. I think the bottom half in France, they come to play. A little bit like Spain, where they come technically as well. They come to play, they're technical. Like, I used to have it on in there all the time because it was on BT, wasn't it?
Mm.
So, like, Ligue 1 was on BT all the time, and you watch it and you'd be like watching fucking like Nantes against fucking whoever, and you're just going, these are fucking awful. Yeah, you would. These are just fucking awful.
Yeah, but you could say that about watching Burnley against...
You absolutely can. Against Fulham. But the difference between the Prem is there's an intensity to it, and it's the same with the Championship.
Yeah, but just because you've got intensity doesn't mean
it's the passion merchant mentality.
It makes it watchable.
No, it doesn't.
It's more watchable
I've watched some of them games, like, you know, in the Prem, like, you try to watch all the majority.
Oh, no, you can't watch them against each other, but you can, like, Manchester City, probably a bad example, actually, because they do steamroller teams. But those lower teams are going to make it a fight against the bigger teams, where I don't necessarily see the same thing happening in Spain and France.
Do you know why that is? Because what you said, very, very rarely do them teams actually go to the big side and do that little low block intensity.
There ain't no Spanish Neil Warnocks. That's what it is.
They go there and play in it. Like we said about the Bundesliga, the reason why the bottom league side will go to Bayern.
We'll
go to Bayern and try and play. They play
a
high line.
I'm in the league, but I'm still playing out. Like, there's no Neil Warnocks who will just fucking punch you in a changing room and be like, no, we're fucking just
twatting. You don't know that. You've got like Gattuso. He's a fucking manager, isn't he? I'm sure he punches
I didn't mention it.
It's because people, what did they say about Atletico Madrid? They think they're just the anti kind of Spanish kind of flary side. But they actually do play good football. But people painting them with that kind of brush in comparison to the rest of the teams in the league.
Because they're the defensive mold.
Whereas Atletico Madrid in Premier League wouldn't be viewed that way. Do you know what I'm saying? It's more like...
But they get exposed in the Premier League, though, wouldn't they?
I think.
Well, look at them in Europe.
Oh, you mean when they not Liverpool
team probably does
over
as well.
Two legs.
Yeah, but that was not a great Liverpool side. That
the thing is,
it was basically around the same time that they won the Champions League themselves.
Nah,
basically a season on.
Nah, after they.
No, they beat them when they won the league.
Yeah, after they won the league, that was it. They were done.
Okay.
Done from there. Wait, what have they done? Other than like somehow, I don't know how they got to third last year from the position that they was in.
Yeah, I didn't think that was gonna happen.
And you know, with the team that they were putting out, obviously they beat us, like, but we was on a sort of wind down, wasn't it, towards the Europa League final. But
it's because what we found out with Liverpool is what Liverpool have had when they've been dominant over the past few years is just a really, really, really strong starting 11.
Yeah.
They didn't necessarily have good depth. So what happens is as soon as they've got one or two injuries, they're like...
And the fullbacks, isn't it, really? Because that's where the strengths... Well, and Van Dijk, because Van Dijk is essentially...
Yeah,
two men, or he can cover the full.
It's fucking quality. Isn't it?
When I watch Liverpool, I actually don't. It's weird. They look like a team that.
No, do you have any sort of personal emotion watching Liverpool?
Why would I have any personal emotion
from being a player there for so long? You don't have any. There's no sort of feeling, even if it's a negative feeling towards them.
I'm not a thingy enemy. Like I'm not the United fan that hates Trent. I'm not on that brigade.
Well, you personally know him though.
Yeah, so I played with him.
Yeah, he was in his same academy team.
So I'm not looking at Trent wishing he doesn't do well. Or I'm more when he does well, I'm kind of happy for him.
Yeah,
which is weird.
Yeah. Well, it's like your mate, isn't it?
Yeah.
So you don't want your mate to be a
mate. Mate's a strong word.
Leave Trent aside then, because obviously you know him. But when you look at Liverpool, what's your personal sort of emotion looking at Liverpool being an ex-player?
I don't have the same kind of hatred as a lot of other United fans to him. It's not like I necessarily like Liverpool, but I don't hate them as much as...
They're just like vanilla.
It's just like they're a rival that I hope lose and I hope we beat, but I don't hate them. Like, I hate Arsenal a lot more than I'd hate Liverpool.
Think that's because you played for them?
Probably. And I there's something about Liverpool. I think even their fans I don't know about you, but their fans on Twitter... They're not as bad as the Arsenal Chelsea ones. Because he says, because I knew he was going to say that because he said to me loads of times that the worst problem he has is the Liverpool fans. But when I'm looking at football,
they're fucking relentless. Yeah. Arsenal fans are funny because they're off the tits. So I don't mind Arsenal fans because you can't take them serious.
Yeah.
Even Joe, like even people I like you can't take them serious because
there's that sense of delusion in it. Yeah.
They're just funny. Whereas Liverpool fans, you know, Liverpool's a football club. You've got to admit, they've got pedigree about it. And I fucking hate them.
I
was raised right.
Yeah.
So you don't care about Chelsea? Because I think Chelsea fans are the most unbearable as well.
Yeah, I'm not really asked about Chelsea.
Is that a modern thing then? Because they're the most successful English team in the last 20 years.
They actually are.
I'm not really that asked about City in that sense.
No, I couldn't give a fuck.
So it's more like...
It is sad though, isn't it? That football has gone this way. And for all you fucking uneducated fuckwits in the comments that are about to start typing that United spent money, we didn't. Do your fucking research. So the fact that now the European champions, the English champions, and the team that's doing a fucking absolute madness in PSG this summer are effectively owned by countries. Isn't that a bit fucked up?
And like the richest countries in the world.
It's a bit fucked up, innit?
But that's the way that it was always going to go. When you open yourself up to that...
that's not an excuse for it,
though. No, but it's really silly. Like the way you would have said it, sorry to cut you off, is look at other teams that are smaller teams in France, and they see PSG finish second. They get a little bit of hope from that, and then you just see them bring in Ronaldo, Donnarumma, Lionel Messi. They're thinking,
how do you compete with that? Well, especially when Leo, they had to sell some of their best players, aren't they? Do you sell one of them to Leicester? Samari, was he at Leo?
Yeah.
So he's gone Leicester, obviously.
Pepe from the other couple of seasons
ago. It's the same with, like, when Monaco won it, we were talking about that before, obviously, Mbappe went, Martial went,
Falcao.
There's low Bernardo Silva. Mendy.
Bakayoko.
Sidibe.
Although Mendy's not necessarily
the midfielder, Bakayoko, the one that went to Chelsea.
Well, he's still at Chelsea. He's back at Chelsea.
45 loanees.
Yeah, but I see.
So Monaco won a league with that squad, and then they all just went in a bit.
I think it was more
Moutinho,
like,
as well. Like,
yeah, Moutinho. Yeah.
Like, I think they. James Rodriguez. I think whoever was.
Yeah, James Rodriguez.
Madness. Whoever was backing them went, anyway, that was fun.
Who was it though? Who owned them? Was they Russian?
I don't know. He's not Chinese.
How much would they have got for, like, from all them?
Oh, maybe it was a fire sale. That's why we got, like, Falcao. You don't loan your best players out. You don't loan fucking Falcao out.
They didn't care, did they?
Nah, they didn't care. You gotta go.
I think it's more like a bit like, that's why I was thinking Russian, because, like, with some of these Russian Super League teams, they pump money into it, and then all of a sudden they just withdrew it.
The Chinese one, like, was it Drogba and Anelka was out there? And then he was like, anyway, you're not getting paid this week. And they're like, what? And they're never are you.
And now they're putting, Chinese Super League, they put a tax on it, haven't they? Where
no new players.
Yeah, but didn't they do it last couple of years?
It was a few years ago. Because, like,
it was like you had to pay 100% tax on the transfer fee of foreign imports or some shit like that.
So there's no limit on what you can pay to your local Chinese players. But there was, because, like, when Oscar went there for like $500,000 a week.
He's still there, yeah.
And like Igalo obviously was on 300 grand a week.
Well, Fellaini's there, isn't he?
So all there was, like,
Hulk was there, wasn't he?
Yeah, there was. They got paid a few players. So they got some big players, and then I think, like, it's life changing money. The bottom fell out of it, and they went, right, well, you can keep you've got a contract, because obviously you can't just say, well, you've got to sell your players. Business doesn't work like that. So they said, if you've got a player on a contract, you can keep him, but you can't bring any new ones in.
The standard of that league must be shocking. That's a proper farmers league.
Yeah. But it won't stay like that forever if people are willing to put money into it.
No, but that goes back round to the thing we were saying about, it was always going to go that way, where you get states, because states are looking for, especially, you know, Middle East and other countries, where they're looking for PR opportunities to promote their country and, you know, deflect other things like human rights issues. So that's a perfect foil to be like, oh, look what we're doing. This is how we're improving the community and the club and blah, blah, blah. And this is what we've done. That happened. The fact that we can pay people £500,000 a week or spend X, Y, Z is just secondary to them.
I'd actually love it if it was a truly competitive worldwide league. Like, if, you know, if China could compete. Like, so John, like, but when Messi came available, everyone went, was going PSG then. Nowhere else. Maybe City, but it was a small chance. It was going nowhere else. But wouldn't it be mint if River Plate could have been like, yeah, we can pay $2 million a week. Or if, like, Miami could have gone. Wouldn't it be mint if it was truly global like that, where he could have gone anywhere in the world?
Yeah, but no. European football is like where all the money's at. And it's the mecca.
What I'm saying is, wouldn't it be great if the MLS had the same pulling power? Like, if Miami had the same pulling power as Milan.
But football clubs are just like corporations in a sense, like Coca-Cola or Pepsi. So if you go buy, remember when they used to sell Virgin Cola? Remember that back in the day? You can't go buy that now. And they don't have the same promotion or the same backing or whatever as Coca-Cola do in terms of who owns them. So they just get sort of filtered away to the wayside, don't they?
I know, but all it takes is you got to do what China did. You got to pay Hulk $500,000 a week. You got to bring Fellaini in on $1 million a week.
It's not sustainable though.
No, it's not, but you've got to sort of start like that and then transition, or you've got to have your strong domestic league. MLS started with all of the mad foreign imports. Now they don't really rely on that. They've got a good product, coming through.
Yeah, they do, because it's your infrastructure, isn't it? So
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. But China probably didn't have that infrastructure.
No.
Do you see that one where the owner's son,
he came on
and he was taking all the set pieces?
I've seen some of the academies that are out there, though.
In China?
Mate. Yeah. So you've seen like what a college sort of facility looks like in the States. Right, yeah, forget that. Like, copy-paste that like 10 times, and it's just more pitches than you've ever seen in your fucking life, just full of people playing.
But that will produce results.
Just of course, China, yeah. Just not a numbers game.
Not in the short term. About China and their economy anyway, so the way they do things, it's not surprising that they can afford it.
But all I'm saying is, I know it's probably not realistic, but I'd love it if it'd be like, you know, if the World Club Cup was truly competitive, if you're like, we could have been going head-to-head for Cavani with Boca Juniors and it was like, we both offered the same. Like, if they had the sort of infrastructure and the commercial pull, because why haven't they got the commercial pull? Why is Argentina...
You're asking why Boca Juniors doesn't have the same commercial pull as Manchester United?
No, not necessarily
But
United.
You're talking about things that have taken years and years and years to establish. What you're hoping for would take probably a century.
Not necessarily. It wouldn't take that long. But
probably not now, but it'd still take a long time.
Yeah. Of course it would, yeah. But like, why
probably
is...
Probably like 50 years at least. Yeah.
If you can see like Midtjylland become competitive out of nowhere from the Danish league, like the infrastructure's there in Argentina. The pathway is through for players to become, you know, internationals through those leagues.
Yeah, but if they've got anything about them, they get poached by a big European club.
That's all I'm saying.
At a young age.
I understand the way the world is. I'm just saying I would love it to be where they could keep hold of their players and compete. I'd love it if Scotland was more competitive than the absolute fucking shit show that it is.
They got beat last night, didn't they, Rangers?
I don't know.
By Malmo. they got beat by Malmo 2-1. There was 1-0 up as well, and so there was level on aggregate, and then Malmo went down to 10 men, and then he scored two in about 10 minutes in the second half.
Do you think the SPL is one of them that just suffers because of the Premier League? So, or not even just the Premier League, the leagues within English football, which are invariably better than the SPL itself. So you got Championship, where the best Scottish players, if they're that good, they wouldn't be playing in the Scottish League. Yeah,
that comes down to money again, though, doesn't it? Because in the 80s, probably 70s and 80s.
Even in the 90s. That Rangers team in the early 90s, when they pulled Gazza in, they had Loudrup there and all that. That was a sick team.
Yeah, because they were doing well in
Europe. And Larsson was obviously at Celtic.
It's just all TV money, that's all. And like the audiences that want to watch it. It's just... That's the same reason why Serie A, La Liga now are kicking off, because of, Premier League has stolen this, or they've done this, and they're the only ones who can pay the wages and the transfer fees or what have you. It's purely down to the fact that the Premier League marketed the product properly, and they had an even profit share in it, or an even split percentage-wise of TV money dependent upon.
Which is why it was, until recently, the most competitive league. In the 90s, it was way harder for United to do it's bananas what United did in the 90s, and it looks on paper uncompetitive, but it was extremely competitive. Like Fergie used to say, you could win six, you lose six, and we'd invariably lose five and six.
We'd always be shit until, well, not shit, that's a probably
inconsistent.
Inconsistent up until like January, and then you would kick on. Yeah. But then it was really when Jose come in, and it was now you had to start
start with a win.
Yeah, start with a win. Otherwise, you're playing catch up all the time. And that's probably similar around the same time. That's where Abramovich come in and just started throwing, sooner.
So the average amount of points to win has increased, and the average amount of points taken by like 15, 16, 17, 18 has decreased. So that's how you know how competitive. If everyone, like, say the Championship, no one really gets 100 points in the Championship because it's a fucking knife fight. It's a competitive league.
Very competitive.
You can go from being like just outside the playoffs or just outside relegation in a weekend. Like, that's a competitive league where truly anyone can beat anyone. Like, the Premier League was marketed as anyone could beat anyone. And actually, it was more like that in the 90s. It's become less and less and less and less like that. And it's not quite a farmer's league, but it's becoming predictable, way more predictable.
Yeah, because
as I told you, that's where the whole statistic comes from, because I didn't say it before, since 2008.
Yeah, yeah.
The French league, which is invariably called the Farms League, has had the most different winners.
Well, yeah, you look
so it's like,
that's a one stat to base your whole thing on.
Not base it all, but it's a decent indicator of the leagues that we glorify in terms of the Premier League, and that pretty much has the same winners every single year. So how competitive is it compared to every other league?
It's less competitive than it ever was, but the top five or six are still very, very strong on a European scale. You can't really say that about Serie A or Ligue 1. You can't say the top five teams in Ligue 1 would compete with the top five teams in England, because they wouldn't. Paris Saint-Germain probably lick us all at the moment. City, Chelsea aside, maybe. Although, on the Paris thing, like we was chatting in here yesterday, or it might be this morning, actually. What the fuck are they going to play? So go on, pick your team. Just start up front, because let's pick your team.
All right, the team I'd pick would be... Left-back's probably their weakest. I'd rather that Diallo play up than Bernat. And then...
So I definitely said start up front, but all right, well...
You just do you.
Donnarumma.
Don't worry about him.
Rude that. Donnarumma in goal.
Bold.
Like the Marvel super villain. You've got left back Diallo, so the Bernat.
Right.
And then centre half partnership. I don't fancy Kimpembe. Don't rate
Marquinhos
him.
And Ramos.
Marquinhos and Ramos.
Pretty good.
Right back Hakimi.
Okay.
And then midfield three of Verratti, Wijnaldum, and Draxler. And then...
Would you not put Di Maria in there instead?
So no Di Maria, no Herrera.
No, Herrera's gone on the transfer list, Danny, apparently.
As
of today.
I
didn't see that, so it's
news to me. There's talks he could actually return.
Nah.
For something.
Oh, fuck, didn't you do that on the news today?
Yeah.
So that's not happening.
Yeah.
And, so Draxler, Wijnaldum, Verratti, yeah. Verratti,
which is... Got some sort of...
Draxler's still attacking, though. I'll go and carry on.
Nah, because Di Maria might lose out. You know what's weird? Di Maria's probably been up there as PSG's most consistent player over the past couple of years.
Where are you playing Draxler in this? As an eight?
Yeah.
Okay.
In fact, Di Maria's probably more suited to playing in that position.
As an eight?
Remember you tried...
I'd play Herrera.
You're talking about the same guy that played that role a couple of times for United.
No, I know, but...
Nah.
With what you've got in front of him... Go on, carry on.
Obviously, we know the front three is going to be Messi, Neymar, and Mbappe.
Yeah. No, not Cardi, no.
No,
what
not
Cardi. What about Choupo-Moting? Is he still there?
Yeah, well,
Choupo-Moting, he'll probably end
show
up
show some respect!
Probably end up at Juventus or something. I think he's been at every big club in Europe.
He's doing well, man.
From Stoke?
Yeah, from Stoke.
His agent needs a fucking handshake and a burger, mate. Honestly. Honestly. So, all right. So you went different to what I thought, because I thought you'd probably throw Di Maria in there.
I want to throw Di Maria, you know what?
And the other three. But I think if you do throw Di Maria and them three, you're getting overrun. And I think Verratti gets overrun in midfield. I think you need to play him in a three.
Well, that is a sort of free,
people don't understand also, how good, Verratti, people do not understand like, how good this Verratti guy is.
No, I know how good Verratti is, but in a two, he's getting lost, mate.
I'm not
Messi ain't working,
that.
Right? And that's fine. If you got Messi, I ain't asking him to press. I ain't asking him to track.
To be fair to Poch, he did have Mbappe and Neymar like working back, didn't he?
They're still young though.
You're acting as if
Neymar. Neymar's like 29, isn't he?
Still young. It's not Messi, is it? Messi's gonna stand at the top of it, and that's fine because he'll score 50 goals, so it's cool. But let's be real about ourselves, how it's going to work.
What do you think is going to happen if Messi plays for PSG, first three games, you don't score?
Right, well, for starters, that's not happening.
No, but...
It's just not happening, is it?
And he's on a mill a week.
If he does, I'm just going to take the piss out of Pochettino until it gets boring.
Because imagine Pochettino gets known as the guy that ruins Messi. Anyway.
Pochettino's basically like you.
No, he's not. I've got nothing like him.
That's a comparison.
I've got Ronaldo, not Messi.
Listen, but realistically, I think Mbappe scores more next season because he's playing with Messi.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Yeah, because
he's going to double mark that little cunt, aren't you?
No, but I'm thinking, it's not just about Messi's goals. You know how good of a passer he is?
Yeah,
he's a ridiculous passer.
He has as many assists as he's got goals.
Yeah. But it's like, if you watch prime Messi, think about the amount of like left wingers or wingers he's kind of made score like an extra 8 or 10 goals because of his three balls.
Neymar and Suarez, the three of them leveled up together.
I think, yeah, exactly. I think even, I remember watching Messi, he made Christian Tail. Remember him? He made him score 20 goals in a season because
he had that Martin Braithwaite playing up front as well.
If you're playing against Messi, he draws.
Plays. And he'll find you if you make a running behind.
And he's got a sick pass. So, if you run off him.
You're going to be running behind. Remember David Villa, left wing, when Messi was
David Villa was a good player.
Yeah, he was good.
But,
but I'm saying, how much?
So,
play with some right players, him.
Hakimi, not as much maybe Diallo as Bernat, but, he's got two pretty attacking fullbacks.
So, you maybe pay 5-2-3 then.
So you see,
and then you play that Kimpembe.
Kimi scored on his debut as well. And he was one of them where he's right back and he's basically made a run into the box from because you don't play like right.
I like a
but that's probably why you'd have to.
He's
do
an
it.
Absolute baller. Have to do it as finish?
A wing back,
innit? Yeah.
Oh, by the way, for all of you lot that fucking were trying to play the guessing game on Twitter ages ago when I was talking about the United fan that met Matt Judge and Matt Judge didn't know who he was. It was Hakimi.
That was a long time ago.
I know, but it was some people. I can't remember who the fuck people was thinking it was. They were wrong anyway. Whoever the fuck they thought it was.
I would not talk. This is a good point. Actually, we need to talk about this carousel. That thingy churn out. You know the same when we was talking about Monaco, but that Dortmund keep doing
what?
In terms of players and selling.
Just like the constant turnaround with players that they get and then sell on.
Good business model. You can't compete with Bayern Munich in Germany, so you can be second. And you can have a good fucking time doing
it. You can offer him a platform, can't you? Same with like Sancho. You can come, well, same with Haaland, really. Look, you can go and showcase and you can move on.
It feels like a lot of the young stars that are emerging in football today, they've all at least played at Dortmund. Because all my, it's like...
Well, if that's by design, then fair play to Dortmund for creating that perception that you can go. I mean, Genk had it for ages, didn't they? Like, you see how many people came through Genk? Were they Hazard, De Bruyne?
Yeah.
Did Lukaku come through there?
No, he was at Anderlecht, wasn't he?
Anderlecht.
I can't remember who the fuck else had come through there. Some mad players had come through there. Like, just insane. Like fucking hell, I didn't realise he was there. But you get that reputation. Dortmund have got it on a higher scale than Genk ever had it, because they're doing it at the Champions League, probably. And they're doing it at the last stages of the Champions League. But if you can put it out there, I mean, also, they're just fucking sick at negotiating. They got Jadon Sancho for $7.5 million.
And what have they flipped back to? What did he get? What did he sell Hakimi for?
They didn't sell Hakimi. No, he was on loan.
He was at Real Madrid, wasn't he?
Yeah.
And then,
so they made Madrid that money.
He was on loan again?
I think he was on loan again.
I thought they bought him for about 30, 35 mil.
Who?
Hakimi. Inter. Okay. And then they've just been signed from there. But they're fucked because they've got Chinese owners and they basically...
Fire sale. Barcelona are so fucked.
Because they've got that young starlet kid, the 18-year-old, Reyna, American. After Pulisic.
Yeah, his thing is...
What did they sell Pulisic for? Like 60 million?
Yeah.
Yeah, you won't remember his dad, will you?
Who?
Claudio Reyna.
No.
Really?
Claudio Reyna.
Is that who it is?
That's his son.
Only Reyna I know is Pepe. Realize.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, Pepe Reyna. Sure it's his son. Pepe Reina. Well, it's not about the same, but he's Spanish, isn't he?
No, but it's like, so what, have they got like an American connection, Dortmund? Or
they probably just got, look, you make it happen with one American, and then you go back to America and sell the next American kid that dream. It's a bit more receptive to your thing, isn't it? Because we've already done it with a guy that's come from where you are.
There's a lot of Americans playing in the Bundesliga now. Like youngsters.
Because MLS has put its infrastructure in right. If America ever got it right, and it weren't with Diana Ross missing that penalty in 94, then they were never going to get it right with that. But if America ever got it right, their collegiate system is pretty sick the way, and we know anyway, don't we, with how it works in terms of the professional level of coaching. Do you know motherfuckers are paying like $150, $200 subs a month? Like it's a fiver.
I'm glad you've mentioned that. Do you know Omar Sinclair and Eddie have done a bit of coaching in America just for being English? And
two paddock players, basically.
Paddock players and football. And they've told me the rates you can get paid
to
coach there. You can be... from getting that range that you want.
About 100k a year. Oh, Chase was dropping that. About 100k a year. About 100k a year.
Yeah, because they take it seriously, don't they?
No, they literally...
That's what you should have in the UK. And, you know, the systems that you can potentially put in place.
Well, it's what we're trying to do.
This is £17 an hour.
Ultimately trying to do.
I think coaches there, I think the rate almost is like £17 an hour or something like that.
Pretty good.
And
it's massive though, isn't it? Because, I mean, I don't... No, the reason why they concentrate so much on sport like that.
I don't understand why. Oh, for starters, I don't understand how many people are so rich in America. Whatever the fuck they're doing. There's just a bigger percentage of loaded people have got these affiliations to the universities that they went to. Like, do you think there's any fucking trillionaires went Ashton Six form, right?
I don't know, but it's some Olympians.
Is there?
Somebody who won, just in this Olympics, she went Ashton Six form.
Fair play.
That's crazy.
But if you look at the facilities, a lot of the facilities are called like the fucking Ben Adams Centre or the Ronaldo Brown Pool.
Got me on centre. Why am I not getting paid on this?
You know what I'm saying?
No, but it's mad though, because like you're saying, I'm thinking these families that are just, they're like 6-year-old kids says, oh, I want to play football today. And they'll just go out and be like, oh, here's 300 quid. Can you train my kid? Where are these families getting this cash from?
Not disposable. Because they don't have no holidays, did they? You know, their vacation time. You know, like you get, I don't know how many weeks Steve pays you holiday pay, but you should up it. But yeah, say like you get 5-6 weeks, yeah, in a normal job, let's say. Yeah. They get like a week, two weeks.
It's not mandatory.
So no, but
a lot of them depends on your company.
Yeah, but a lot of them don't even take it. So when you go, when you meet people when you're abroad and like, and they say, oh, how long are you here for? And you're like, 2 weeks. And you're like, what, 2 weeks? I'm here for like 3 days or whatever, and then got to go back to work.
On a 15-hour flight? Fuck.
Well, no, because...
When you're over there,
you know, wherever you are. And I don't understand why. Their contract laws and labour laws is way different. I mean, ours will probably go that way.
And even with mad unions too. The mad unions that they used to have, it's amazing that they never put holiday pay in as like a legal requirement.
They don't even have... they've got proper piss poor maternity pay as well.
Wow.
That really
and it costs you like 100 grand to give birth.
Oh, yeah. Ridiculous.
Oh, yeah.
Do you think it's a problem if you fucking knock up some random in England?
Yeah, but that's probably the way that's going to go in the UK now. It's
fucked up.
What? Privatised healthcare? Yeah.
Fully private healthcare is not good.
Now, but I'm thinking, how... So
unless you've got
imagine,
it.
Imagine... So it's in America,
still the number one reason
so in America,
the country goes bankrupt, isn't it? So it's not about, yo, am I all right? Are you all right? Is he all right? Yeah, okay. Yeah. It's about what can everyone do.
It's for the greater good, isn't
so it? So is the American mentality of, oh shit, I have an accident, you're on the floor now.
1500 quid if you phone an ambulance.
Your leg's facing the wrong way, but you'd rather try and treat yourself.
Yeah, you'd rather like you'd rather get some like wood and like try and straighten it yourself and
rather than go.
And it depends on your insurance, doesn't it? It depends on the quality of your insurance.
But wouldn't they say the healthcare that you get in England you pay for anyway, kind of through taxes?
But they pay more in taxes for their healthcare and then they pay private on top.
Yeah. If you haven't got a private health in America, you might as well
just die.
Yeah, forget it. At least you know you might have all the problems with the NHS.
And if you don't, let's just say you get something mad like fucking cancer or something like terminal, not even necessarily terminal. Just something, is it chronic when you get it
chronic,
forever?
Yeah.
Like something that needs treatment all the time.
All the time.
Yeah. Let's say some sort of kidney problem or something like that where you need like dialysis or something like that. Now, okay, cool. You now are paying like 300 grand a year. How am I doing that? Well, you owe it us. You've charged me 80 quid for paracetamol here.
Isn't that true? Like, you don't actually... It's not like you got to pay, or we're not doing the surgery unless you pay
No, they
us.
Do the surgery, but then you just
then
owe
get, you then
owe
you get a bill, yeah. And so that's why people go bankrupt, because of the medical bills they expense.
It's the number one reason people go bankrupt in America. Yeah, for the Americans that have been brainwashed by Fox News to think that these people just fucking die.
You've got bare people watching you.
There'll be some people in the comments going, oh, America's healthcare is great.
If you watch Fox News, then you're going wrong straight away.
Like me and you, literally both of us have, we're on the same plan, aren't we? We have private healthcare, but it's on top of...
Must be nice.
It's on top of the...
NHS. Well, I used it last year for my knee. I got referred by my GP. You have to go GP. Well, not all of it you need to. You can self-refer. But I went to my GP and said, yeah, I've got it on private health. We just sent me for both my knees scanned. I only needed one scanning, but I thought you might as well while you're here. And then I had both my knees scanned, MRI, had a video consultation, a face-to-face consultation, and I could have had surgery, leave it, or a cortisone injection. So I was going to have surgery, but they said you can't drive for 2 weeks. So I thought, fuck that. So I said, I'll just try the steroid injection in my knee, which is a bit weird. Now, the steroid injection itself was only about, when I've seen the bill for it, it was about 90 quid for the actual injection. But for the MRIs and everything like that, the whole bill was about 1,500 quid just for, you know, the MRIs and getting seen soon. If I'd have done that on the NHS, I'd still be waiting now.
Yeah, you just wouldn't have got seen.
Yeah, you wouldn't get seen because of
the
waiting list.
The negative side of the NHS is if you need a snapped, you'd have been seen. But when you go, oh, this hurts and I don't think it's right.
They're like, I sit and see you in a bit.
I'll see you in 6 months.
Yeah, well, not even 6 months. You're probably waiting 2 years.
Wow, is that long?
2 years, yeah.
That's the downside.
That is actually longer. A con, because the way the healthcare is and A&E and stuff like that in England is like when you've actually got something that isn't fairly serious, but you still feel like it needs checking or and looking at well, unless you go there and there's
I got loads. That's why I got private health, so I can I'll go in there and be like, right then, you fuckers, let's get to work.
Because unless your knee's got no mobility, it's bent the wrong way, something looks wrong, they're not going to do anything but tell you,
so that's
here's
the
some ibuprofen.
But guess what?
Yeah.
Like, you could go and have a full knee reconstructed, the fucking works, and then when you leave, they go, all right, see you soon. And that's it. Like, you don't go wait for the bill and it's 400 grand don't. And you go, what am I going
to
do that?
Do they have to like set up a payment plan for that?
Yeah, they will.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah,
I would imagine.
Is it like they set up where like they, it comes out of their wage every month for years?
I have no idea.
Fuck knows.
But if you're a first world country and the number one reason your citizens are going bankrupt is to stay alive, your system's wrong. Simple as that.
Yeah, and the pharmaceutical companies, they're producing like mass produce the drugs and stuff. If say it was paracetamol and you can go and buy that for like a quid or whatever, but then if suddenly loads of people come reliant on that paracetamol, let's say for example, drug companies are going to say, right now we're going to start charging $250. And that's what they do with a lot of drugs, that it's so cheap to produce, but the markup on it's ridiculous because they know that that's the only drug that they can take to suppress their, you know.
I saw problem. A bit of a scandal with a cancer drug.
So basically the drug dealers.
Well, yeah.
On an industrial scale.
Pharmaceutical distribution, yeah.
There was a cancer drug which cost them, I think it was like 6 pence to produce. Now, I understand that they have to return the research. Like, the research must cost a lot of money to be able to... And obviously clinical research, with the amount of testing that goes into it, I assume is quite expensive. But, like, I think they worked out that this company was making bazillions.
Oh, yeah,
did you? And they were charging, like, 10 grand a go on some medication.
Big business, isn't it?
Tech business. So... The profit margin was a bit...
They said it wasn't just like making profit. It was super excessive, taking the piss level of profit.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
but you're not just covering your costs and making profit. You're just...
But then if you're one of the only people that provide that, you're monopolizing the situation, aren't you? And people who need that to stay alive, well, tough shit, you got to pay for it.
Yeah. So I mean, if you've got insurance, you don't care because your insurance company is just paying for it.
Until it comes to renewal and they fucking... my renewal, because mine was through work, saying about my knee... when I left work, Dave's like, oh, you want to carry this on? I said, yeah, go on then. How much is it? They go, oh, yeah, £640 a month.
What?
And I was like, nah, you're all right,
mate. Crazy, though.
£640. So from being on my, because it was a work plan, like I just paid, they paid for it. I just paid the tax on it because the benefit in kind. You know, it might have been 30, 40 quid or whatever a month coming out of my salary, which you don't even notice. So yeah, £650. I was like, nah, seeing a bit. So I just set up a
month.
Yeah, a month, yeah. He was like, oh, that's because you had a claim. And well, I was off sick for 6 weeks, allegedly.
No, but you still got to pay for the medication you prescribed, innit?
Yeah, £750 or is it on 19 quid or something? It's
not no, I'm talking about... Yeah, the prescription.
Because I remember, obviously, growing up as a student...
Yeah, free.
It's free and all that. And then as soon as you become an adult...
But it's a nominal charge. We don't charge you 150 quid for it.
Yeah, but it depends though, because...
It's like an admin charge, isn't it?
You could just... If you tick on that form, nah, don't work. Unless they come looking for you, which they may well do, but I know people who just
I think... No. I'm not going to lie. I think they have because when I've gone and obviously been honest, I feel like it's not like they've just said, okay, and then they give me the medication. They go on the computer and do... all sorts. I don't know what they're checking.
Yeah, they
might have some way of checking.
You're in work, you go, oh, I forgot.
they won't, because of GDPR, they won't have access to that information to say whether you've got a job or not.
I don't know, man. Privacy is a bit dodgy. I don't think it's all the way it seems.
This is the NHS. Do you think they've got that sort of capability?
So
what's that? Yeah, but what?
Network speed either.
The NHS, what did they, recently, I don't know if you saw it, there was something that you could opt in and opt out of.
Oh, that
with
was
the NHS.
Yeah, that was the data getting sold to third parties.
Yes.
What?
Did you not know about that?
Yeah, but it's too late now because that deadline's gone.
I opted out already.
Yeah, no, but I'm
being a conspiracy theorist. I was all on it.
Obviously, Steve's not because he's never heard of it before.
So,
but you know, you're automatically now like an organ donor unless you opt out.
No, I opt out of that. I don't know why either, because I just don't want to do it.
No, it's just a bit.
They didn't, it was someone that like had to be, a story that had to be relayed for you to find out about it almost.
Yeah.
It was like, they didn't, NHS didn't tell everyone, or here's a thing that you should opt in, opt out of. They were just hoping people didn't realize.
But they probably sell, probably sell that data to like private health companies to then build their payment structure. Do you know what I mean? In terms of their insurance premiums that you then pay.
It's wild, isn't it? Yeah. But anyway, the whole fucking point where we got started on that NHS shit was people spend 300 million to build a new fucking stadium for some college fucking baseball team. Like, that culture of doing that doesn't exist in England. And that culture of...
But do you know, we talk about the support system for them teams. They'll build that £300 million college stadium for baseball and they'll get fucking 70,000 fans in it.
This is true. Yeah, but they won't pay for it.
Yeah, but how do they, those tickets, do they have to buy them or are they just...
I paid $45 to go watch UCLA.
Yeah, you'll have to pay to watch.
It's a regular price. And we was just in the shit seats. I imagine they probably got VIP as well.
It's almost like a
70,000 fucking people there.
It's honestly like college football and college basketball at the highest level. It's like, it's basically professional.
Yeah.
In terms of the caliber. I imagine. There's people actually follow it and watch that and support it in terms of the teams and the colleges in like almost like a tribal sense.
But do you know what?
It's like a tribal sense, but they do it more than in a more than natural teams. So they support UCLA more. Some people would support UCLA and watch their games and follow everything they do more than they'd follow the local team.
But I understand.
But the local team is just a franchise which can get taken any.
Like who got moved from LA? Was it the Raiders?
The Raiders
are in Compton.
Oakland. The Raiders it's were Oakland yeah, and they've gone to Vegas.
Vegas. Oh, right? Vegas. So let's say you're in. Who was in LA?
The LA now is LA Chargers, LA Rams. But
the Rams was in St. Louis.
St. Louis, but they've gone to LA.
Yeah, so that's basically why you just get. And probably similar why there's a generation that will follow Messi to PSG. Yeah, yeah.
They got 20 million followers on Instagram yesterday.
Who?
They had 19 million. They announced Messi, they're 40 million.
Yeah, I've seen people.
I was starting with Janina, we should have signed Messi.
You joking? No. PSG doubled their.
In a day.
Because of Lionel Messi.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he is a pretty big draw, though, to be fair.
No, but I was going to say. I was going to say, like.
Imagine next year when. Because Ronaldo's contract's up, they get Ronaldo as well.
Stop, I can't even imagine. So, the.
You couldn't put it past him. I don't think Ronaldo. Would Ronaldo and PSG kind of think we've had this rivalry?
Fucking
for
rivalry, years.
Let's 100. Just play together for the end.
You say rivalry is more respect, isn't it?
No, rivalry doesn't necessarily mean disrespect. Right. Like there is respect there, but as you are saying, I can see it where they're saying
they've just pulled fucking Messi off, right? Yeah. I know that someone in a meeting today is going, get Ronaldo next season, no matter what, just get him.
Listen,
doesn't matter the money.
Just get
him. It doesn't matter.
Imagine the money they make back. Listen, PSG on having
Messi. You can sign Messi on a free 18 months before we host the World Cup. Fucking hell, we'll pay him whatever he wants.
Well, so you go to Qatar, don't
he's
you?
A
like
perfect man.
Buongiorno. Yeah, can we sign Ronaldo?
Yeah, next summer. Yeah, get Ronaldo. Fucking hell, there's you two. There's you two. Both will likely to play in that World Cup as well, and they both play for your state-owned football club.
Yeah.
See in a bit. No matter how much money you spend
on
marketing.
If you're at PSG, is it Leonardo? is it Leonardo?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Mate, just start fucking peeling 20s off until he fucking says yeah. So it makes more sense to follow the college team because your fucking franchise team can get taken away and be like, hey, we're going to Oakland.
Yeah, but they don't have like round here in terms of a semi-professional network, did he?
No,
in that
there's
sense.
Like England's smaller than Texas, and there's 800 fucking teams from pro to semi-pro in that area, in the size of Texas. Texas has one MLS team, does it have an NFL team?
Yeah, it does. Dallas.
Yeah,
yeah.
Got Cowboys.
Cowboys.
And then it has doesn't have a basketball team.
As the like Houston Texans.
Houston Texans. Oh, it has Houston Rockets though, doesn't it? Aren't they a basketball team?
That's a basketball team. I'm talking about NFL. You just asking NFL?
Yeah.
So they've got two NFL teams off the top of my head. They've got Dallas Cowboys and Houston Texans. Weird though, because Dallas Cowboys and Houston Texans don't play in the same division or conference.
Yeah, bizarre.
Bizarre.
But then they have a big sort of college thing. Yeah. Like Texas is like the hotbed, isn't it, of college football. They're in Florida. It's kind
Texas
of like
A&M.
But it makes sense. Let's say
do
you
like
follow
all this like American sport. No?
Yeah, I honestly follow NFL and the NBA in terms of watching it probably just as much as I follow football, or probably even a little bit more.
I could get into the college one because
I've been trying to get him into NFL,
especially if you went to that college.
Yeah, I can't be asked for
that. And I think
if that's your local
like
college,
tried,
and if you went to that college, I can understand the affinity you would have for watching that college going forward. And I can when there's only like one college and it's like a major city. I can see why they get 40, 50, 60, 70,000 sometimes.
Yeah,
there's also only 8 matches a fucking season.
Yeah, it's not a big commitment, is
nah,
it?
So
not
you
a
big... can have you can festivalize every match. That's why they tailgate for 6 hours before. Because you're doing it like United had 30 some fucking home games one season. You ain't getting 6 hours on the piss for every fucking game. Like
I want to know what these cities or states, as you call them in America, actually make, because we spoke a lot about marketing. You know what's funny? When you're watching stuff like Undisputed and First Take on American sports programs, when they're mentioning teams and players going where, they mention marketing and the financial side so much, because that is a big element, like you said, because sports, probably 80% business, isn't it? Probably a little bit more. But
it's all business, really.
I was basically looking at is how much are these states making from the teams that play?
Well, don't a lot of the cities buy the stadiums or build the stadiums? Like Las Vegas built that stadium for the Raiders to come. So they spent $1 billion. Las Vegas.
Yeah.
Metropolitan.
And they're expecting a return on that.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course they are, yeah. Probably not like, well.
$1 billion.
Because you talk about it like how you're saying, sometimes big players, like the best players within the league in NFL or the NBA, will be less inclined to go to small market teams rather than big teams.
But they'll be thinking about their brand as well.
But that's the same in the Premier League.
Yeah.
Like, United could bring Cavani here. Aston Villa was never signing Cavani. They could offer him the same, but it's the same. There's a brand associated with United that there isn't at Everton. You know what I mean? And even though, even Leicester, right? Let's have it right. They've won the league more recently than us. They're not in the same league as us. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it is true.
Even so if they offered you the same money, you're going United, aren't you, over Leicester?
Yeah.
Well, nah, yeah, you think so.
Yeah, you would.
And that's not something that never changes. That can change. Like City and Chelsea have proved that over Liverpool and Arsenal and unfortunately nearly ourselves, nearly us. We're still in the mix, but we won't be there forever.
For them to get to that stage though, when they first come in, they had to overextend.
Absolutely. In terms of, on fucking shit. And now like Joe and that as well.
Like I think one of the reasons why City didn't maybe go more seriously for Messi is because they've got a salary cap internally. Caps are like 375 or something.
As you've just said though, like you get Messi in, the money that you lose.
Yeah, but it's not about that. It's because if you pay Messi that, people having their contracts I'm the highest player in the club, or I get parity with the highest player in the club. Yeah. So then you got to pay that, and then all of a sudden it just throws everything out of kilter. So if you're
it's
running
like Griezmann's on 800 bag a week.
Yeah, if you're running it as a
because of what Messi was on.
Yeah. If you run it a proper business and you look at like your turnover and your outgoings and what percentage of your turnover can be spent on wages and to make you profitable or to make you break even, there's no way that
it's about 120% wages.
Well, look, like you say, Barcelona, look at that. Some of the players that they're paid, you know, somebody got rich obviously off signing them players for that amount to pay them that, but it wasn't the club. It was maybe an individual or a few individuals at that club. You probably think, yeah, nice one. But I say it's all down to greed, isn't it?
Well,
I wonder how the transfer is, though.
They were just completely.
What's the bank transfer like, though? Like, you know, when City have said to Aston Villa, 100 mil, where do you want it? Barclays or Halifax? Is it?
This is 100% true story. So some of you know, I was at the Lowry when United signed Pogba, right?
And just hanging around.
I managed to get Jaden in. I had a selfie with him. I got Jaden a selfie with him. Lukaku and Raiola was both in the mixer as well. United, I assume, because they didn't exactly wear like United fucking suits, so it's just blokes in like pink button down shirts and stuff. They were sat on the table next to me here, talking about the deal. And then when they got up to leave, they shook hands. We was at a table right at the top of the stairs. And the guy was like, pleasure doing business with you. He goes, I'll keep my phone on into the early hours. And he goes, I'll drop you a text once the transfer's gone through. And I was like, they're talking about £89 million.
No, but would they though? Because
it's probably about 20, wasn't it?
Yeah, they're all structured, aren't they? Because like you look at Sancho, what we're going to pay 15 mil per season, which
what
is
bank?
Nothing.
What bank holds? Can you actually hold that kind of money? And it must be a different.
You've got your high street banks, and you've got all these private banks that for the rich. Yeah, but then you'll have obviously from a business side of things, because that's what it's a holding. Yeah, like Manchester United, whatever it is.
Yeah,
on there, they don't work on normal levels, bro. Do you know what I mean?
I reckon what do you reckon's in that account?
probably very little. It'll just be working capital.
Okay,
because they won't keep those sort of funds on deposit. It does not make financial sense whatsoever. Yeah.
I was going to say,
it'll probably be tied. It'll probably be tied up in like bonds or whatever.
Yeah. But there will be a card for it, won't there? Or there'll be company cards related. Yeah. But it won't be like one access card. Swipe 100 million fucking for someone on it. There you go. Jack Grealish, Bosch.
Go on a night out. Like, you have all these expenses.
You got to rub it. Just wipe the chip a bit. And try it again. 100 mil. Yeah.
Probably made out of gold itself.
Hang on, how much is that? 100,000
But that's what all clubs do. I doubt City would have paid 100 million up front. No way. It just don't make sense for him. No matter how much money you've got, why would you do it? Don't matter.
Oh, so a lot of deals paid like installments, really.
Yeah, and then you look at like the transfer dealings is, so, you know, you then budget that in for the next, however, over the term of the contract.
Yeah, you get to put the spend of it over the length of the contract that you give the player. So that's why they give the player 4 or 5 year deals. Obviously to tie him in and keep his asset high, but also because that's what you're sharing the sort of cost out on your books, which is a weird thing.
Look what happened with Pjanic and Arthur. Like, that's just a mad deal. That Pjanic don't even play, does he? For Barca.
Didn't they swap him?
Yeah, they swapped him, but that was to do an accounting transaction to make it look like the books were balanced.
So they bought him for 100 mil or whatever it was, and he bought him for 100 mil and nothing happened.
Yeah, nothing happened.
But they get to put an asset over the books for 5 years.
Exactly, and that was going on like the previous year's accounting.
No wonder they're a billion in debt when they're doing crackhead accounting like that.
Yeah, but they should have known, but they probably would have known, not last year, but even a year or two before that, shit, we're going to have a problem here when it comes to...
Well, you know the whole reason Barcelona are in the shit? Several reasons they're in the shit.
Yeah.
One of them is that they're a billion in debt. They lost 400 million last year. Yeah. That's over a million a day. That's fucked up.
Yeah, mad when you think of it like
Every day.
But that's just related.
Today's Tuesday. Yeah, we lost a million. What? Yeah.
But that's obviously,
and aren't they responsible for like four of the five most expensive transfers as well in football history?
Yeah, but on that, like obviously Premier League gets a lot of a bad rep, but the majority of the most expensive players are not from Prem to Prem clubs. It's from La Liga and Serie A, isn't it? Buying from maybe Premier League or wherever. The top 10, I think Grealish only just about gets in the top 10, doesn't he?
Basically. Wow.
If he does at all.
Barcelona bought Coutinho, Dembele, a few players for over 100 million.
They've had a crackhead in charge of accounting, honestly. Like, it's been so fucked up the way they do it. So the reason that they've got to just yard all the players off, 2 years ago, based on... So La Liga's got a salary cap, but by the sounds of it, it's not a restrictive, usually, salary cap. It's like they had 600 million euros in their salary cap, and I don't think they even hit it. Even paying Messi 2.5 million a week, they weren't even hitting their salary cap, so it wasn't a problem. They're just under it, and they're going bananas, and they're not even touching their salary caps. This is 2 seasons ago. Last season, it dropped by like 10%. So still cool. Didn't probably sign anyone, I don't think, last summer, did they? But like, also COVID, not a problem. But then because of all of these losses started to hit, like these TV deals have been restructured and all the rest of that, they made a loss of 400 million. Their salary cap went from like 560 million euros to 138. So that's the salary cap that they've got to work with next season. So one of the restrictions of that salary cap is you can't sign any new fucking players, or you can't register any new players. So Memphis, Aguero, every fucker that is signed, you ain't getting registered until you're under 137 million. Now, they did agree a contract with Messi. I've seen loads of people going, if you love the fucking club, he'd stay there for free. He was on so much dough.
He actually couldn't
because he'd left the club because his contract expired. So when they give him a new contract and go to register him, he can't be registered until that salary cap comes down to
137 million. And didn't he agree, like he did agree, a salary deferral on it. So it was the back end that he would get paid that money back when they would have been back in a better situation.
Which the league also said, you're trying to cook the books, you can go fuck yourself.
But that's what everyone's doing.
Yeah,
everyone's
what they've said. So they can't even, like, there's a real chance.
Yeah, basically, I think if they sold a player for 100 million, they could only allocate like 25 million of that to new player sales, to buy.
It's the wage bill. It's the wage bill that's stopping them registering anyone.
Well, Aguero's out until November now, isn't he?
Now, on this, there is supposedly... and this is a conspiracy. We got into a conspiracy in the end.
Yeah.
There is supposedly a clause in his contract, which is if he's... Because he's been an injury-prone player, hasn't he? I think it's fair to say. There's a clause in his contract that if he's injured for a certain number of weeks, his contract can be cancelled by Barcelona.
They'll be exercising that right.
Well, they might be, yeah. And well, they only bought Aguero
into play to appease Messi, wasn't it? Or one
he's like, get me the fuck out of
here. So is your conspiracy that this injury may or may not actually be an injury?
That's what I'm
saying. Something that Aguero...
I think Aguero's trying to get out of his Barcelona contract.
Well, yeah, I've seen that he doesn't want to be there. Well, I won't want to be there, to be fair.
Hang on, I'll come here for Messi. Not only am I not going to be here for Messi...
Listen, where does he go?
You're probably going to be selling loads more.
Where does Aguero go, though, if he actually...
He'll just go back home now, won't he?
To Argentina.
Yeah, yeah. Probably. He probably thinks, fuck it now. You know what I mean? City's all-time leading goal scorer.
He's probably going to get a game
one bear
Paris,
trophies there. Nah,
I was going to say...
It'd be third choice behind Icardi and...
Nah, where can PSG can't... PSG can't get any more players in.
If they bring Aguero in on a free as well, this is honestly, I've never had a summer like this, even when I was cheating a footy manager. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, never.
I wouldn't put it past
them. Never seen a summer like this. And then Ronaldo next year. Yo, fuck off. Scenes when they come second to Lille. Oh, if that happens again.
I don't think Aguero will be that arsed about playing that much, though, as well. Because
as long as he's hanging out with Messi.
Yeah. Obviously, he's a legend already, innit? So it's like.
He's probably.
I don't mean United.
You'd have him at United.
Yeah, I'd go pick him up.
Oh yeah, I forgot. Aguero's like the one City, one rival player he actually rates for some reason.
I like Yaya Toure as well.
Yeah,
Aguero. Yeah, I mean his records are ridiculous.
And I kind of like Yaya Toure because City fans don't like him, so that helps. I don't know why I don't like him. He's the best midfielder you've ever had. You fucking dickheads! Like, get a fucking grip.
Yeah.
This is why you know they're shit and spoiled. They don't know world class players when they fucking see them. And they think like they still think King Clads is world class. Shut up. Go watch Yaya Toure and King Clads. Yeah, Yaya Toure, fucking dickheads.
To be fair, like
I think City.
I can't believe. Sorry, go on.
I was gonna say I think City fans and how shit they are is basically being represented by in Manchester. It seems like Manchester City players and footballers are much more able and comfortable to walk around the city, do normal things. Go to clubs, normal places, without getting that mired. Whereas as a United player, you don't get that same luxury.
Nah.
And I've always thought, why is that?
I saw Vincent Kompany and John Lewis. No one mired him in the slightest.
This United is players.
This is 5-6 years ago when he was the fucking captain and the fucking daddy and everything. He'd already won the league.
Trying to claim that they're too cool for it.
But why is that? Is that just the fan base?
It's not numerous enough
for
it.
Nah. I don't know.
It's the fan base thing, but just the big... players for a big club now in Manchester City. But
how many people turn up for the Jack Grealish unveiling?
More than they first looked at on that photograph, I think.
It looked pretty bad, that, to be
someone, because obviously Paddock FC's got I've got a list for it on TweetDeck, so when someone mentions us, I see it. And someone had put, like, at Paddock FC, get more at their fucking games, this is a piss take. I was like... truth with her.
I mean, yeah,
on the picture that they show, which is that front.
I mean, it's a bit weird because he'd already played for money.
Yeah.
And then do the unveiling, it just doesn't make real sense now. Yeah. But yeah, it's like if we did it for Varane now, pointless, isn't it?
No, he's not played for us as yet, so it's still work.
It feels like he's been here for ages now.
Right, I'm going to wrap it up. I'm going to leave this with a question for the audience. Why is Phil Jones still here?
Is he actually here?
I saw his outfit as well for the Ivy.
What was he wearing?
It was terrible. Wore a bomber jacket, going wrong. He looked like a defeated man, though. So I don't know.
I seen him in a picture. He played golf, didn't he, when he was in Scotland last week?
He can't play. He'd be like me playing golf.
Nah, I reckon. He's got to be mint at golf. Do you know what I mean? The amount of time he spent on the golf course.
Yeah. I imagine he loses a lot of balls, though. Proper golf threats. Anyway, cheers for tuning in. Make sure you give these lads a follow. And... we'll see you next week. Get some questions and that in. Laters. Hey, thank you for watching the video. If you are new around these parts, then don't forget to subscribe. My channel is proudly supported by my community on Patreon. If you'd like to get a little bit of extra content, a Discord group, meetups, five-a-side games, weekly podcasts, behind the scenes, and even an occasional bit of transfer news, as and when I get it, then for the price of a pint, you can show your appreciation for the content that we make and get some goodies for doing so as well. Check the link in the description or click the button right here. You'll also find all of my socials here too if you want to follow me on any of those platforms. Nice one.